Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Wednesday, November 1st, 2023. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live to view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one enters into the queue, we'll continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verse in question. Let us begin with a prayer. Most holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for the sacrifice You have made through the cross that has provided a way to escape the well-deserved wrath upon the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But we have found grace in Thy word, and as the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. You delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom. We too see that your chosen people today find that we have been delivered out of great tribulation, great affliction, that the prince and the power of the air has imposed upon us. Whereas in thy word you have provided an escape out of these apostate churches and led us to flee to your high places, where we found substance in these evil days. We ask that you continue your blessings upon us as we look into thy word for substance and counseling in the way that we should walk. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I got a little bit of a cold. I think it's getting better. It was worse yesterday and the day before, but today not too bad. But I'll do my best to get through this. Okay, I know we talked about going into the 2300 days, and I've been pondering this over the week. I spoke that I'd like to talk about salvation at some point, and I think I should talk about it now. You know, this is probably the most important subject we can look into, is the purpose of God's will and his plan, the mystery of his will. And this is probably one of the biggest violations of the churches. If a church goes astray in this, for sure, there's no doubt, or any group goes astray in this, no doubt, they have lost their way. Salt also is another picture of a false, the lack of salt is also another picture. But let's look at this, predestination according to the purpose of him. The word predestinated is the word parousio, and it means to limit in advance. Example, to predetermine, to determine before, to ordain, predestinated. And it's not used that many times in the Bible, I think. Well, we're going to find out. It's interpreted in a couple of different ways. It does also refer to, well, not this word. Okay, predestinate, I think, is the only one. Chosen is similar, but it's a different Greek word, if I remember correctly. Okay, but let's look at first Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So he already knew who was going to be saved before the foundation of the world. And many, 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 many Christians I talked to, many, many churches that I had visited, many places where the gospel is to be, they seem to go astray on this. They just have to put something into this. They have to choose for Christ. They have to make that decision. You know, God has set everything together, but you got to step forward and take it. And this, of course, we're going to read. The Bible is contrary to that kind of thinking. So let's go on and read on. According to that, he hath chosen us from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praises of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward, also to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, this picture here set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, I'm not sure whether we're going to pick up a verse in this study today, but I think we have in the past, but we will eventually anyway. And I know I've mentioned this before, that we are seated with him in heavenly places. So where is this place that he has set him? Ultimately, he set him into his right hand, which is his people, which is on his right hand, inside the body of Christ, living and reigning and ruling in our whole, in our soul existence, in our heart, in our soul existence. And that's where we live and reign and rule with Christ. And of course, the living and reigning and ruling with Christ in this world is the is ruling and reigning over our bodies, keeping them in subjection. Romans chapter 9, 11 through 24. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And this was taking place in the womb, as with Jacob and Esau. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, Why doeth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And if we're dead, we can't do anything. We can't reach up. We can't ask for salvation. The fact that we respond in any way, the fact that we ask for salvation, the fact that we repent, this is all that God is making us to willing to do of his good pleasure. And without his will that we should do that, we will never come to God. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in the trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversations in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there's that verse. I thought I had it in here to study somewhere. So we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So where is it that we're seated? Of course, it's in our heart existence, in our soul, a resurrected soul. Created me a new heart, O Lord, renew a right spirit in me, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So we add nothing to it. You know, when we receive a gift, that gives that gift to us, we didn't add anything to that. It's just freely given. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall, of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by the Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Romans 8, chapter 1, verse 1, walking after the Spirit. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in a likeness of sinful man, flesh, and for sin condemned sin to the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And of course Christ is that righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raiseth up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are dead, it is not of the flesh, to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify. This word mortify, by way, it's very important to understand what this word means. It also is to be crucifying the flesh. It's the practice of self-denial of one's body and appetites, okay? And we're all sinners, saved by grace. And we all have sin problems. And we all must, those of us who are born again, mortify, the deeds of the body. We crucify the flesh. We constantly turn from the flesh. We repent from the flesh. You know, God tells us that if you resist the devil, he will depart from you. That's a promise. I've seen that in my life. That's a promise. Anybody who's born again should be seeing that. Little by little, to becoming, more and more sanctified, closer to the Word, sinning less, having less of a desire of sin. Nevertheless, we struggle all the way through life. There's no end to that. How did Paul put it? Oh, wretched man that I am. You know, who will deliver me from this? I forget how that goes, but who will deliver me from this way or the sins that's within him? Even when he does good, it's evil, you know? We may have that in this study. I'm not too sure. But anyway, so the practice of self-denial of one's body and appetites. Let me go back and reread this sentence now. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Papa, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So how is it that we suffer with him? It again is that war, the spirit against the flesh, crucifying, mortifying, the body, denying the sins of the flesh. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For For the earnest expectations of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Galatians 5, verse 13. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And again, this is another problem I've seen in churches. It is constant, you know. People seem to think that they have liberty to sin. They seem to think that they can, and obviously preachers in those churches or places or the Bible teachers are not covering the right scriptures. You know, a good teacher or a pastor, or particularly pastors, of course, you know, they should be looking out into the church and understanding and hearing and seeing the problems that the people of that congregation in the flesh, and they should be preaching the word concerning those things, bringing the salt upon that, and teaching the fact that, you know, you have to mortify the flesh, you have to crucify the flesh. You have to resist the devil so he will depart from you. And if you're not doing that, if you're not constantly repenting on a daily basis of whatever it is that has gnawed upon your flesh and that you've been battling with, and from sometimes you fall into it and you have to pick yourself back up and get in, it's Christ, of course, that's picking you up. And you, if this is not happening inside you, you better seriously question your salvation. So... let me see where I was. I lost my place here. Well, let me just start off and Let me just start off.
That's where you were. You were. You had scrolled to where you were going to be.
Where was I? 13.
You're about to start Galatians 5.
Okay. Yeah. So I should try to highlight this so I don't lose it. But okay, 13. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, if you love your neighbor, you're not committing any sin. You're not looking in lust. You're not you're conniving. You're not stealing. You're not injuring. If you love your neighbor, you're fulfilling the whole law. So thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And, you know, lasciviousness, many people may not know what that means, but it's a morbid sexual desire or propensity to lewdness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which is discord, emulations, which is jealousy, wrath, sedition, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, reviling, which is rioting, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, that the afflictions and the affections and lust, if we live in spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let me just look back here quick. There was something I wanted to talk about, if I can recall it. All right, maybe it'll come up later in my mind. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrath the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to the Spirit live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If the man minister, let him do it as his ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when the glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any make man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Ye have not chosen me. John 15:16-19. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-15. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And of course, the sanctification is coming under the hearing of God. You know, people are being sanctified when they're in the churches during the church age. If the church is faithful, they're being sanctified. They're receiving the word. The saved husband sanctifies the wife and vice versa. The same with the children. The whole family is sanctified. They're all under the hearing. They're very close and very, very possible are of God's elect and will eventually become born again. And God says the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. An effectual prayer is one that's prayed within the will of God. And a righteous man is one who has Christ in his heart. And the availing of much is someone who's coming, you know, with great requests and hope for the salvation of another. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistles. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me, which was with me. For 2 Timothy 1:8-10. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partners of the afflictions. You know, in the world we will have afflictions, we'll have tribulation. You know, the great tribulation is the judgment upon the church. I know we spoke about this, but I want to try to clarify it a little better maybe. The judgment upon the church from God, for the church going astray. And the affliction or the great tribulation comes upon us because of the wrath of the devil, ultimately, of an unsaved church. Which doesn't want to hear the true gospel, doesn't want to bring a salted gospel, doesn't want to bring a gospel of grace, a gospel where we are predestinated, a gospel where we choose not. You know, we went through a whole bunch of other gospels, but this I think is chief. This is the chief problem that I have seen in my walk and as I've been looking into the Bible some 40 some odd years now. Okay. Afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished the death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Romans 11, 5-7. Even as then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more work, no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. And remember, God's people was his elect, was the Jews, the Israel. And again, amongst them, many people have gone astray, bringing in damnable heresies. It's a constant problem. Anybody reading their Bible, see, this is a constant problem throughout all of history. And it's a constant problem even throughout the New Testament era. Churches going astray, bringing all kinds of damnable heresies in. And as I mentioned numerous times, when we get into the book of Revelation, when we finally get into chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, we're going to see that those seven churches have all gone apostate. They're all gone. First Thessalonians chapter 1, 4-5. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. 1 Peter 1:2. O elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partners or partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charities. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and again, you know, if we're crucifying the flesh, if we're mortifying it, and turning and repenting and keeping our eyes single and plucking out our eyes. If our eyes offend you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. You know, if your foot offends you, cut it off. You know, where in life are you walking? Stop walking there. Where in life are you taking and participating in the world? Stop taking it. Stop reaching that hand out to take it. Wherein are you looking into the world in lust? Cut out, pluck out your eye. Look to Christ. If we're not doing these things, every man goes through these problems, every woman, everybody. And if we don't deal with these problems and work with it, we better be questioning our salvation. And also, we should be growing. You know, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. We should be in our Bibles every day as much as possible. At least I meditate on the Word. I'm always meditating on the Word as much as I can. And I know through this study, this study has been a very good blessing to me. I've been through this type of a study before, but putting this study together here and putting all these verses together And I've been meditating on it all week as I've been putting this on. And it's been a great, great blessing and a certification of what my state of being is with God. Matter of fact, when I finish this study, I'm going to post it onto our page where we post our studies. And people should take this and read this and really meditate on every verse, every line, and consider everything, and consider it unto yourself. Okay, you know, how does it apply to me? But again, if you are doing these things and giving diligence of these things, then you will add to your faith virtue, as we read here. And to virtue, you will add knowledge. And to the knowledge, your temperance. And temperance, patience. And patience, godliness. And godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. These are the things that must abound, that make you, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, but rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For it is in this fashion. You know, the word so means in this fashion. For it is in this fashion that an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this verse has really been a blessing to me. It's very early on in my walk with Christ, and even when I was still far off, but he was calling me. This has really been heavy in me. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Because this is the entrance into salvation. This is the entrance to the knowledge of your salvation, to your relationship with Christ, to know where you actually really stand in this. So in this fashion, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Psalms 14:2-3. The Lord looked down from the heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Psalm 53:2-3. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Even one of them is gone back. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3:10-24. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? And anybody who is really honest with themselves and really looks down deep and considers the actions of your way of the past and even of now or of yesterday or today and what you might think you think and even tomorrow, if you're not looking in and seeing these things, you don't realize how what a wretched man you are. You know, we are just sinful creatures, and we, you know, and again, unless Christ is dwelling in our hearts, there go we. You know, we'll continue with the world. So again, we need to really examine the heart, work out our salvation with great fear and trembling. Okay, eternal security. And this is another one that I've heard so many churches read things into this, and as if people can be saved one day and lose their salvation another day. That's not even possible. You know, and I've seen people who have fallen away, and it just became evidence of the fact that they never were really saved. They were just, you know, the corporate body mimics the spiritual body. And then they go their way and live in the world. They'll come back on a Sunday again, and they mimic the spiritual body again. But as time goes on, hopefully some come to salvation, to the knowledge of the truth, to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the beginning of all things. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. That's in Proverbs. And so anyway, let's look at this. This is a very important, all these verses are important. So Hebrews 6, 1 through 10. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of the hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and you taste that in the heart because you're living and reigning and ruling with Christ and you're crucifying the flesh and you're becoming more and more purified, more and more closer to the kingdom. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gifts and were made partners or partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth, and the earth identifies with the church, for the earth, which drinketh in the rain, that's the water of the gospel coming out into the church, that often cometh upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meant for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth the blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and the things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. John chapter 10, 25-30. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Study to show thyself approved of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 10-16. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, He will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth a faith, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about the words to no profit, but to the subverting by of the hearers. study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I wanted to mention something here. Study and show thyself approved. All right, let's move on. Philippians chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Okay, that brings us to the end of our study today. It's a little shorter than normal, but I don't know if anybody has any questions or comments. Now is the time. But again, I'm going to post the study, and I really suggest everyone, no matter how confident you are in your salvation, or insecure in your salvation, or not sure of your salvation, these verses will bring to light, and some of them are hard to, you know, respond to, because, you know, the flesh loves the sin, and we have to resist it, and we have to crucify it, and we have to suffer along with Christ, as we read here today. We have to suffer with Christ. It is right for us to have to suffer, and we need to do that. If we're not doing that, I'd see, again, a big problem with a lot of people that I have seen. And again, I judge no man, you know, and I don't know the hearts of another individual. You can know a man by their fruits, of course, but I don't judge men or individually. But you can't help but when you hear someone and how they act and what they do and what they say, And by their fruits, you can tell the tree. And if you look closely, you know, I see a lot of things. You know, as I mentioned earlier in our studies, we talked a little bit about family radio, and I even have family radio down there. But it has lost its saltness. There is no salt in it, none whatsoever. And it has lost also the preaching and teaching of hell, which is the saltness. But it also has lost the teaching and preaching, the fact that, you know, salvation is not of you, it's of God, it's a gift. You participate in no way. God does not reveal his will on why or how he saves this one and not that one. It's not because I was a better person, it's not because I was whatever I was, you know, I was just a sinner is what I was. But there's nothing you could do. Once you add to your salvation, you're adding to the Word of God. And once you're adding to the Word of God, then the curse of God is upon you. We're going to read that at the very end of the book of Revelation when we get to the last chapter. So we have to be faithful. And again, I strongly advise everyone that you should meditate on these verses and go into the Bible, read them all in context. You know, it's all more helpful. There's a lot more that I could have put into this from within the context of where I've taken, but I tried to really try to stay focused on the point that I'm trying to make here, which ultimately is to show to study thyself approved of God. We have eternal security. Where's the other one? I just missed that one. Ye have not chosen me. God has chosen us. And it wasn't because you were better than anyone else. Surely that is not the case. We deserve hell and damnation just like the rest of the world that is heading that way. We need to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And again, this is the mystery of His will. All right, If nobody has anything, we'll end it for this evening. We'll be picking up tomorrow, and I think tomorrow we will be going into the 2300 days and whatever's after that, because 2300 days is kind of short. And, you know, we're going to lightly touch these things, but as we get in the book of Revelations and we start working through to try to discover and see how the calendar fits with all of the verses that we're going to be looking at, the ones that we've already looked at and the ones that really we're going to be looking big time in the book of Revelation. We're going to try to work through that, constantly refer back to the calendar, which I may still have some mistakes in it. You know, every time I look at the calendar and I ponder it, you know, a certain verse here, a certain verse there, I find a little tweaking this way, a little tweaking that way. You know, also, I talked about the study in Mark that people should be looking at. I spoke about that last week. And spend some time in there because he covers a lot of this stuff. But I will tell you that he had some errors, and he couldn't have known there were errors back in that day. It was too early. It was back in the 70s or the early 80s. And he couldn't have known at all because a lot of the seals hadn't been opened yet. And I know in one of his studies I listened to, he was under the impression that that when the Great Tribulation comes, that no one is going to be saved. When he really started to really go deep into that, and we all started looking into that, we discovered that that was not true. Salvation goes on to the very last day. Because we're going to see the picture of the body of Christ going out into the world without a church and bringing a gospel. So people will be compelled to do that. We'll all do that, at least in our own families and our neighbors and friends and so on. But the gospel does continue all the way up until the end. And people are saved all the way up to the end. But there's a few other errors. And a major error he made was which we'll get into more when we look in the numbers of 2300 days and the other things after that, was misinterpreting or missing the beginning of sorrows. That was a major, major, and we couldn't know that until came past a certain date, which was, in September of 1994, which so many Bible verses, you know, there's like about 20 things that point to that date in the Bible. And then that's just what we're covering in this calendar. There's a whole, whole lot more in the Bible, a whole lot more. It gets a little complicated, so I don't want to get into that. But I will share where you can get those studies if you're really into numbers and you really want to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, I'll share with you where you can find that information. But right now, let us concern ourselves and focus with what we're doing here now. But you can add on to this to continue to fortify and be sure of what we're teaching here to be honest and true and the Word of God. But again, a lot of things focused in on that, and we could not know about the beginning of sorrows until one of the seals was opened, and we realized after we passed that date, well, okay, you know, then the idea was it's not 2300 days of the Great Tribulation, it's 23 years. And that was the next thing that was looked upon. But then a number of us saw, wait a second, we have to relook at this because there are other numbers that take us to other places. And each one of these places that is being taken to, we can't see it until the seal is open. And we're going to look at all those seals. We want to talk about those seals and see how those seals relate to time, particularly a time period. Okay, and you can't know that date, that number, that place, that fixture. You can't know it until that seal is open, and we'll look at that on how those seals have been opened and when they were opened. Okay, with that, good night, everybody, and see you tomorrow. God bless. Thank you.